You know, in today's world, it seems the best treatment is reserved only for a few. Well, Discover wants to change that by making everyone feel special. That's why with your Discover card, you have access to 24/7 live customer service as well as $0 fraud liability, which means you're never held responsible for unauthorized purchases. Finally, no matter who you are or where you are in life, you'll feel special with Discover. Learn more at discover.com/creditcard. Limitations apply. We wake up every day saying, how can we make this show better than the day before? Because we're lead pipe wielding professionals.
This is the Rich Eisen Show. Live from the Rich Eisen Show studio in Los Angeles.
The third interim head coach that David Tepper will be employing in his tenure as owner of the Panthers that began in 2018.
I take full responsibility for everything.
Today's guests, co-creator and writer of Max's Bookie, Nick Bakay. Emmy Award-winning actor Eric Stonestreet. Plus, your phone calls, latest news, and more. And now, it's Rich Eisen.
Yes, indeed. Welcome to this edition of the Rich Eisen Show. We are live on the Roku channel. We are live on this Rich Eisen Show terrestrial radio affiliate smart enough to have a Sirius XM Odyssey and more. We say hello to those not listening to us live on our podcast listenership through the Cumulus Podcast Network. All 3 hours of this show available for you to listen to whenever you darn well please, because it's your God-given right. Also, our podcast, Overreaction Monday and What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask. Peter King was their guest this week. You should check out that pod as well. 844-204-RICH is the number to dial here on this program. Good to see you over there, Christopher Brockman. How are you, sir?
Let's hear him get yelled at.
Mike Del Tufo stuck in Baby Fox or whatever he was doing last night. We good? We good? Is everybody good?
We were talking about something, and I closed his mic. I forgot to open it again. Mm-hmm. Chris normally looks, and will open his own.
Uh-oh.
So the foul was on me.
Hey!
Oh, wow.
What a way to start the program. Way to take the foul.
I'll take the foul.
We're teammates.
By the way, there's one.
It's one and one now, though.
We're teammates.
By the way, that means you've got one more to give in the last 2 minutes of the program.
That's true.
How'd you like that for a little NBA reference?
Thinking about Baby Fox.
Good to see you guys.
No, I was on Big Fox.
How are you? How are you, TJ Jefferson? Candles lit. What's going on over there, sir?
I'm ready to get this day cracking.
I bet you are. I am too. I got to tell you, this
is. I'm excited about tonight.
Today, well, it's not tonight. We still got today. Who needs tonight?
We got tonight.
Who needs tomorrow? Because we got today. Oh, we've got today.
Why don't you stay?
That's my senior prom song.
These next 3 hours, I hope you're all ready to laugh. Because I just love both in-studio guests. One I've known forever. One who has become a great friend in the last, 10, 15 years. Hour number three of this program is the guy who's become, I've become real good friends with from Modern Family back in the day. Diehard Kansas City Chiefs fan and frequent guest of the Rich Eisen Show. He might be one of our most frequent celebrity in-studio guests in the history of this program.
He's a very good friend of the program.
Eric Stonestreet is here.
Hey.
Eric Stonestreet is here, and I can't wait to hear his thoughts on the narrative that his Chiefs will go down the tubes because they don't have a long passing game.
Their offense stinks.
Okay.
Yeah.
That's one way to put it. Glad you got that out of your system before he arrives.
That's not me saying it. That's the narrative.
Also in studio, about to join us in 17 minutes time. I've known this man forever and a day. He was one of our first celebrity fill-in hosts in year one,
yes.
Month one or two.
Yes.
And I've known him because he was on SportsCenter back in the day as an occasional contributor.
That's one way to put it.
Yes, he is. He's a diehard Buffalo Bills fan. And he's here in studio on behalf of the show that he is running right now. We talked about it with Omar Dorsey the other day, the co-creator and co-writer of Bookie on Max that debuts with two episodes this very day. Nick Bakay is in studio. And for all you old school SportsCenter fans, I asked him to provide us with a tale of the tape.
All right.
And he has done so.
Can you explain that? Because I don't know if some of the younger viewers may not remember that.
So it's
segment.
Like, when there's a big fight, there's a tale of the tape, and who's got the reach, who's got the weight, who's got the height.
Yeah.
Or big time football games. I guarantee you on Sunday's NFL game day morning in advance of the Eagles and 49ers game, we will do on NFL game day morning a tale of the tape is what we call it. Breaking it down. Who's got the advantage at quarterback? Who's got the advantage at running back? Who's got the advantage on defense? So he creates a tale of the tape between two items that you would not think that would clash with one another. And the tale of the tape is the brotherly shove versus Taylor Swift. And I would tell everyone out watching and listening, do not move. If you have a dial, don't touch it. It'll be great. Oh, and by the way, speaking of 49ers and Eagles, that game is on Big Fox.
Oh.
I'll be working there.
Not the game.
No, I'll be there Sunday.
But you'll be there in proximity. I'll be just 2 miles from Pico Boulevard, so I feel like I'm part of the broadcast
as
well.
I'm on Big Fox Saturday.
Good enough. it's on Big Fox in the booth in Philadelphia. His name is Greg Olson.
Yes.
And he will be joining us in hour number two of this show. Very exciting. And how about this, folks? Talk about exciting. In terms of shows like this one, in the endeavor that we take part every single day, in the mosh pit of conversation, sports talk, and takes, and opinions, this is what we call Christmas Eve. And what I mean by that is the Dallas Cowboys playing a football game on one of our work days. That's Christmas Eve, because what's Christmas is tomorrow. The reaction to a Cowboys game on a work day.
Yeah.
An actual, I know they play on Thursday night on Thanksgiving. That's not a work day. I mean, for me it is. But for most of America, it is not. But for us, we get to chew up the Dallas Cowboys. Mm-hmm. Who are they playing? That's right, the Seahawks. We get to chew that up, and then the reaction to it.
Get your damn act together.
That is correct. Tonight on Prime Video, which you can see right here on Roku.
Can't wait.
Cowboys hosting the Seattle Seahawks. And it's the Cowboys coming in on a red-hot streak, taking on the 6-5 Seattle Seahawks, and thus on the line tonight. The narrative that has surrounded the Dallas Cowboys, the narrative you would like to discuss, TJ, is just how good is this team when they're playing like this? They are A+. They are Super Bowl worthy. Dak Prescott is, in fact, playing like an MVP quarterback. If Mahomes had the numbers over the last 6 weeks that Dak Prescott has been having, if Jalen Hurts had the numbers over the last 6 weeks, and Josh Allen, and just name them. Name elite quarterbacks.
Is Dak elite?
In this league.
Elite.
Name elite quarterbacks in this league. If Brock Purdy had the numbers over the last 6 weeks that Dak Prescott has been putting up there. Most valuable player conversation. But for Dak, we need to keep seeing it, because there's that other narrative. And this one cannot be denied. It's the one that the Cowboys bristle at. My playmaker was asked this very question on game day morning on Sunday, and he got pissed. He doesn't want to talk about this because it's not right based on what they've been playing over the last 6+ weeks. It is the annual crowning of a team that is peaking, to say, for some, who have they really beaten? Because tonight, the Dallas Cowboys have an opportunity to win a game against a team above 500, which they've done only once this year. Which team have they beaten that came into their house, or they went into their house, above 500? The answer is the New York Jets in week 2. That's it. When they beat New England, was New England above 500, Chris?
No way.
All right. The Giants couldn't have been above 500 in week 1, because, you know, they were 0-0. And they were most decidedly 0-1 after that 40-0 shellacking on opening night. The Los Angeles Chargers were at 500 when the Cowboys came into this house and beat them by 3 just up the road from us. The Los Angeles Rams, were they above 500 in Week 8? What about the Giants in Week 10 and Carolina in Week 11 and so on and so forth, Washington? As a matter of fact, if you think about it, you know, the Dallas Cowboys have just tarred and feathered at home the Amtrak Acela route in the Northeast.
Yep.
Boston, New York, D.C. Their only missing piece is in Week 14 with Philadelphia coming to town. But tonight, in advance, the Seattle Seahawks at 6-5, and I proffer to say this. When we open our gifts Christmas morning tomorrow on this program, that narrative will still be in effect, despite the Seahawks being above 500 because of the way they've played. You guys got to beat them up tonight, sir, avoid that. But you don't care. You don't care. You shouldn't care about narrative.
You know what I'm going to say? A narrative.
Is that right?
You know, I'm going to work blue a little bit. Yeah, who cares? Because no matter what the narrative is, Rich, the goalpost, as we know, will always be moved back when it comes to the Cowboys.
Mike,
no
I think we've got a new drop. This is your way of saying about this narrative, whether it matters or not.
Hit it. And let's see how Earth responds to that.
We'll see how Earth responds to this Cowboys-Seahawks game tonight. We will.
I thought you were going to go with the other one.
No, we can't. It's a family audience.
Oh, right. Sorry.
Although I think the GFY is something TJ would like to apply to this narrative as well.
You know, just win the games, man. That's all you.
And then for the Seattle Seahawks, because they are playing tonight as well. Boy, do they got to win this football game. And it's not a short week. Again, that's the beauty of what we're doing in the NFL.
Exactly.
Every year now, the league is taking Dallas and another team that plays on Thanksgiving and pitting them against one another for Thursday night football kickoff of the week after Thanksgiving. So we see a Thursday night game where people can't sit there and go, well, you know, it's a short week. And
right.
No, this is a full week. They've had a full week off going into tonight.
No excuse.
0.0. Full Blue Tarski of excuses. And if you look at Seattle's schedule and the fact that they are entering this part of their schedule having lost 3 of 4, that's the issue. They got punked in Baltimore only to survive against a Washington Commanders team that had Brian Robinson cooking in front of the 12s, and they survived Washington by 3. And, you know, Washington has been nothing but disappointing over the last month. They go to the Rams, get swept by the Rams, give them new life. And then they start the stretch of 3 games that have San Francisco in it twice. And then when they're done with San Francisco at home, which they got smoked on Thanksgiving night tonight, and then they go to San Francisco, and after that, Philadelphia strolls in. And in the meantime, look who has come on strong. The sniffing it duo in the NFC. And that duo is Green Bay and the aforementioned Rams, who have a tiebreak over them. The first tiebreak when it comes to playoff positioning and seeding, and of course, whether you get in or not is division. That's the first thing they do. Are there multiple teams involved? Break the division tie. If it's just heads up, first thing, head to head, certainly division. And that is no bueno for the Seahawks that they're now only a game in front of the Rams, and they would have the same number of losses as the Rams going out of tonight and into the next week. And the Rams have potentially Joe Flacco or DTR in Cleveland in their house. The good news for the Seahawks is Eric Stonestreet, our third hour guest's Chiefs, are visiting Green Bay. But hey, the way the Packers are playing right now, you never know. Seahawks have to win this tonight. Stop the bleeding. Put their marker down and say the team that won more than lost over the first month and a half, 2 months of this season, we are still them, the team that made the playoffs last year, rallied around our comeback player of the year quarterback in Geno Smith, even though he was only coming back from the bench and not injury. We need to show everyone, Seattle, that team still exists. And that's my Thursday Night Football preview. Prime Video tonight, right here on Roku.
And let's see how Earth responds to that.
We cannot wait to see how Earth responds to Thursday Night Football.
I got a What's More Likely.
What do you got?
Oh. May I, Chris? May I, you know.
Excuse me, we're a group here because that's our other new favorite drop here. Everyone needs to know about us.
The best thing about us, though, is it's about us.
Exactly. So it's not about him. It's about us. You have it, sir.
I want to trespass on his lawn.
It's
you know?
Okay.
But what's more likely? Deron Bland scores a touchdown tonight or DK Metcalf scores a touchdown tonight?
I'll go DK Metcalf. Because how many times is that guy going
to
pick six?
Well,
how many times? I understand that.
Geno's not looking too hot these days, man.
So you say it's more likely he throws a touchdown pass to Deron Bland than DK Metcalf tonight?
I'm going to take Bland tonight.
I can feel it.
Okay. We're drop heavy here.
I mean,
I like that. What's more likely going out the door to our first break?
It's fun.
Greg Olson's going to join us. And there was word on the street that. Greg might be interested in the head coaching job that's opened up in his old stomping grounds in Carolina.
Well, why not?
And so Greg's going to join us, but obviously the filet mignon of that conversation is the Sunday game in Philadelphia he's going to be calling. And Greg is outstanding at calling football games and analyzing them and making it completely understandable and not scrawling all over the screen pre-snap. So it's going to be great.
Come on.
That's great.
No.
And little baby KK?
People do that. I'm not referring to anyone in particular.
Is that who that is, Mike? Greg and little baby KK?
Greg Olson. Eric Stone Street. But ladies and gentlemen, when we come back, America will feast their eyes on the smiling grill of the co-creator and co-writer of the soon-to-be hit show on Max that debuts today, Bookie's Nick Bakay, when we come back. All right, folks, let's talk about game time and let's talk about buying tickets to big time events because it can be worrisome, it can be time consuming, and it can be expensive. So game time is the fast and easy way to buy tickets for all the sports, music, comedy, and theater events near you. You can see the view from your seat before you buy so you know exactly what to expect when you arrive. They have all-in prices that show you your total up front so you know you're getting a great deal without hidden fees. And how easy is it to use? You can buy tickets on game time in seconds with two taps, and there's a game time guarantee, which means you'll always get the best price. If you find tickets in the same section and row for less, game time will credit you 110% of the difference. It is so awesome. I use it. You should as well. For sports, music, comedy, did I mention theater events? All near you. Take the guesswork out of buying tickets with game time. Download the Game Time app, create an account, it's so easy, and use code EISEN for $20 off your first purchase. Restrictions apply. Visit GameTime.co for terms. Again, create an account and redeem the code EISEN for $20 off. Download Game Time today. Last minute tickets, lowest price, guaranteed.
Half redneck, half posh. 100% fun. Trey Crowder and Corey Ryan Forrester try and learn fancy culture in putting on airs.
The host of the Medium Popcorn Podcast, Brandon Collins and Justin Brown.
Okay, so Paddington 2 had like 100% of Rotten Tomatoes.
As
for
it should. You guys ruined that?
Justin came in and like took it down like 2 points because of his rating. That's the time we started getting death threats.
Yeah, I'm not surprised. People worship that movie.
Putting on airs. The podcast is on YouTube and wherever you listen.
Nick Bakay here on the Rich Eisen Show. We're back on the Rich Eisen Show Radio Network, sitting at the Rich Eisen Show desk, furnished by Grainger with supplies and solutions for every industry. Grainger has the right product for you. Call clickgrainger.com or just stop by. We had Omar J. Dorsey on the program Tuesday. He's in this show that was created, co-created, and co-written by the man to my right, Nick Bakay, here on the show talking about Bookie on Max again, which debuts with two episodes today.
And you could see it right here on Roku. What a pleasure to see you, sir.
Thank you, Rich. It's great to be
You're
here.
You're one of my favorite people, Nick.
You're mine. You're mine.
When did we first meet? Was it back in Bristol? Or you never really made it to Bristol too
much, did you? No, I was there like twice in all the years. I always did that stuff remote. We met at...
Was it Nate Nall's Delicatessen? Susie and I were going to go rescue Hudson the dog.
Wow.
And we were on the fence about it.
Jeez, that was a long time ago.
And then we ran into you and Robin,
and
your wife.
And it was like we'd been friends for years, but we'd never actually met.
That was the first time
and
we met.
And I remember us saying to you, get the dog.
You did.
It's the pathway to children, too.
Susie and I left, and we're like, okay, we're going. And we picked up, and Hudson lived 15 years.
He is a handsome boy.
I know. He lived 15 years. I know. He is a handsome boy, which is part of the music, the songs that Susie used to sing at him. Wow, Nick, your memory is fantastic. A steel trap. And again, the stuff that you did on SportsCenter back in the day, we're going to relive that at the end of our conversation with a fresh new tale of the tape straight from your brilliant mind.
I had to get the air duster out. It's been a while.
You have one of those over there, don't you, Chris?
We need one. We've got one.
It was
dusty.
So let's talk about Bookie here.
Yes, sir.
We talked about it the other day with Omar Dorsey. Sebastian Maniscalco is one of our favorite guests. Look forward to having him on to talk about it. Where did this one come from?
This is something that's always been an intriguing area and, you know, a part of my life that I always thought was exploitable and explorable.
Were you a bookie?
No, but, you know, I've had certain deep relationships. As I always said, there's a man in my life who I say we have shared custody of $5,000. And I actually got to have my guy passed away this year, and he was actually... Oh. Helped us in a lot of our researching for this, but he's a guy I got to know over about 30 years, and he was a fascinating human being. And the more we were through, I went through his marriages, we've been through health things, we really did get to know each other. And the more I got to look behind the veil, the more I was fascinated by it. And with the legalization of sports betting, there were so many interesting opportunities with this. I mean, there's an interesting thing. It's not legal here in California, where we set the show, where Sebastian's character is that guy. And in a funny way, it's relatable because, look, I'm an actor. I'm in SAG. I'm in the WGA.
Yeah.
We just struck, and AI was a huge part of that because I don't care if you have a taxi medallion and Uber comes along. We're all scared. We wake up one morning, and there's something new that came along, and guess what? You're done.
Yeah.
I mean, that's why I'm working so hard on the TikTok dancing.
How's it working out for you so far?
Plan B hasn't gotten
to my algorithm yet.
Once the fake hip loosens up, Rich, it's happening. But no, you know, it's like he's in California. Will it legalize? How's that going to change? The show, as much as it's great for people who are watching us in this space,
yes,
you know, because it's about if you bet sports, if you love sports, you're going to love the language. It's all there. We have a grand salami joke in the first episode.
Fantastic.
But it's just about a guy like everyone else, a guy with a family, with partners, with crazy people in business with them, trying to raise a family and get over.
Right.
And Sebastian's and Omar are unbelievable in it, and we had a lot of fun.
Well, it's unfortunate that you hooked up as a co-creator with a guy with no track record with a hit in television. Wait a minute. I'm told it's Chuck Lorre. Yeah, okay.
Deadweight Laurie.
Deadweight. No, but you worked with him with Mom, right? Like you were
Mom, and a few other things. But my worked and ran Mom for him for a solid 8 years, and we have a great relationship. And you know, this thing started out with us talking about something for Sebastian, which maybe started with like multicams and natural.
Yeah,
and then we went off road, and for Chuck and I, this was really fun. Because instead of open on living room, when are we getting the Johnsons for a wedding gift? You know, we were like, no, let's kill people. They'll have sex. They'll die. This is right. You know, we did every day we wrote this. It was deviant and delightful.
If I had told you years ago when you were on Mom or just getting started on Mom that you would do a show like this with Chuck Lorre and Charlie Sheen would be in it. You would have, what would you have told me?
I would have given you very long odds. Let's put it that way.
To use
you
the know, bookie phrase.
When that hit the sports book,
a lot of vigorous
just
on
closed
that.
And left town. No, that was seemed impossible. In fact, we Charlie is in it playing himself. And that scene was something we wrote, and we knew if he's a bookie in L.A., he'll have some celebrity guys
sure.
making bets
yeah.
with him. And it was always in the first episode. And one day Chuck came in and said, I think it should be Charlie. And I was like,
yeah.
And it scared me at first. But that's when, as a writer or when making bets, you know you're onto something. Like, you know, I might bet Carolina this week because it makes me want to throw up. And when you want to throw up a little bit, you're onto something
just
as a writer and as a sports
better.
they're getting six, you know? And it's just Tampa worth six in any universe? I don't think so, fellas. Anyway, but, you know, but after a day or so, I realized, no, this is brilliant. And I also knew that Chuck was ready for some healing and rapprochement, if
yeah.
I may.
Sure.
And Charlie certainly was too. And boy, was that a great move because, you know, it's funny. We had our first table read, and those are high blood pressure events to begin with.
Sure.
You've got network and studio, and you're hearing it. The cast is there for the
first time.
And you're like, Maron, you know, let's see.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, you forget, but Charlie is a master of this craft, and he put on a clinic that day. And as I've said before, it was like watching him just groove balls and BP over the fences, you know, it was mm-hmm. like, and it was like, this is a home run. And it was a fantastic development on all levels, human and for our show.
And then again, for a comedy to have Sebastian Maniscalco, one of the hottest comedians.
Yeah, not too shabby.
Currently, last few years, and obviously the future as well.
Yeah.
I mean, writing for him has got to be just, if we want to talk about spinning curves.
He's got a voice.
Yes, he does.
He's been right for it.
Sure, he really does. And he was, I'll tell you, the dedication. I could see how he built what he's built as a stand-up. I mean, he's on tour right now playing what I call the hockey rinks. You don't do that overnight.
Like Madison Square Garden.
Yeah.
That's a not Buffalo guy
forum,
right there.
Friend,
the Felt Forum.
The Felt Forum. The garden, babe. And I could see he took this show on the same way. The approach was nothing but hard work. And dedication.
Nick Bakay here on the Rich Eisen Show. Again, Bookie is available right now in the first two episodes, including Charlie Sheen.
Yeah.
My gosh. Right on Max, which you can see on this Roku platform, or anybody that's listening, go seek it out wherever you can. So your Bills, sir, on a bye week, 6-6.
Yeah, thrilled they're on a bye.
As a Jet fan, I would take Josh Allen yesterday and twice on Sunday. And he's got a touch of the Favre in him. You know what I mean?
That's fine. He certainly does. No, but that's what I love about him. Look, I've got a good life, Rich. I've got beautiful children.
Yes.
I have a wife who was in Playboy and can write a great joke. look at me. I don't deserve any of that. It's, you know, things are good. But the Bills are my cross to bear, and that's the curse of Buffalo. But I've reached the point where I'm like, look, I enjoy film noir, and that is how I understand the Bills. You know, they're not feel-good, happy-ending movies, but they're fun. And but they don't end well. And Bills, things with the Bills don't end well, like film noir. That's okay. But they're exciting. You know, look, we 4 Super Bowls, great, in a row, lost them all. OJ, best player, didn't end well. You know, Clint Malarchuk, Google that one, young people. But being a Buffalo sports fan is tough, but it's exciting. And listen, Josh makes your blood flow, baby. It's great.
Yes.
I wish that we didn't have a coach who coached scared in the last minute and a half of halves.
You think that's what it is?
Because I mean,
because overtime, they're 0-6 now.
0-6 with Allen.
And that starts, by the way, with that awful holding call that blew up that overtime when they were ready to go in Houston. In Allen, was that his first year, second year? It just always seems to be something.
I know, and the refs are definitely the 12th man for whoever we're playing. That's a fact. That's a proven fact. But you know, we're good enough to survive whatever they throw at us. But I honestly Listen, McDermott brought us out of the doldrums. And you know, I get nervous about guys where they go, you know, he was a great high school wrestler. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like, for me, it's like, that's not as a bit of a red flag. I mean, the prime directive in high school is to meet girls and wrestling.
Yeah, you know, this might be 20 years of NFL Network experience.
Yes.
You know, I don't think the best metric of whether a head coach is going to work out or not is how he looked in a singlet in his junior year, of high school.
Thank
you know what I mean? Like, that doesn't strike me as a metric that you want to...
pull something else out of his bio.
You know? Like, what did Parcells look like, you know, in high school at his junior?
Was don't want to know.
Okay. You see what I'm saying? But that's the point, though, is that...
Parcells high school picture.
It does appear in the here and now, coming out of the bye, with the schedule the way it is, and the offensive coordinator having been switched, that looks pretty good.
So far, so good.
Right? Yeah. Just first two games. And then Leslie Frazier, I see him at NFL Network because he got swapped out.
Yeah, you wonder about the scapegoating there a little bit.
Well, and so it is now McDermott's ship to turn around in the next few weeks, or you think
ship? We needed to beat Denver and, forgive me, the Jets and a few teams like that.
That makes sense.
The Philly game was great. If we lose that, you can't complain. It was great. But it's the teams we should beat that we didn't that'll kill us in the end. We'll see. They still got a shot. But look, my feeling is like, look, I've been a Bills fan for a million years.
Yes.
Josh has his $250 million. I don't need him to play for 100 years. I need him to play for two good years and win something. Yes. Let him run. He wants to. He wants to do that quarterback option on every play. Fine.
Are you wearing your Bills Super Bowl t-shirt that you got? How did you get your Bill Super Bowl t-shirt?
Bill Fagerbakke, the voice of Patrick on SpongeBob, I went to theater school with, to soften my credentials even more here.
Yes.
He got me that somehow, but it's one of those t-shirts they print up for winning Super Bowls and teams, and when they lose, they ship them somewhere in the third world.
Right, and you got one of them.
He scored me one, and I don't know, I wore it here for fun, but I think he gave it to me in part to make fun of me.
So do you wear that watching games? Like, what's your...
I can't get my... I have two sons. I can't get them to watch Bills with me. It's probably better.
Yeah.
You know, that's an act of love, probably.
Yes, right.
But I'm sitting there in West Hollywood with my enormous cat, Anthony. He's 25-pound cat. Ooh. And I watch the football games with my cat, Rich.
Is that right?
That's me on Sunday.
I was about to say, was the cat's name Salem? I don't know.
I had one of those, and it hated me. Never forgave me. The 20 years. And every time I walked down the hall, looked at me like, today's the day you kill me. And I'm like, look, if I wanted you dead, you'd be dead. He's going to kill me. No, that's my shtick. That's my voice. Don't do that.
I've never asked you this question, so let me do it here on live Roku TV and radio. Your Seinfeld appearance.
Yes.
You were the boyfriend with B.O., right?
Is that it was in the Smelly Car episode
where
all infused with the B.O. of whoever valeted their car.
Okay.
So I'm dating Elaine, and she can't get it out of her hair, and that's why we break up.
Yeah. Great episode.
Yeah.
How did you get hooked up with that one?
You know, I had gone in and read for that show and done well but not gotten the part at least twice. And then my phone rang and they just cast me, so I'd made a good impression.
What other, do you know which roles you were reading for?
I'm afraid not. I'm not a Seinfeld completionist on that level. But I
should
probably look
back. Completionist is a great fantasy team name. Write that down.
You've
got a whole bunch of fantasy team
names. But I remember when I first started dating Robin, and she said, man, I've never really dated an actor before. What's it going to be like when you have to kiss somebody? And I was like, oh, I love you so much. No one's asked me to kiss anyone since the high school play, honey. You know, I'm not that guy. And lo and behold, that day I got to come home and say, good news, bad news. I'm working. It's on a pretty popular show, and I'm kissing somebody. So, yeah.
Julia Louis-Dreyfus.
If you live long enough, anything's possible. Including Carolina this week, I'm telling you.
By the way,
I'm mentioning that twice now.
Yeah.
Why is that? Just because they've switched out coaches, whatever?
The teams always rise up after they fire the coach.
Yep.
But you're talking that man's language, because after 20-plus years of domination, or domination? Is that what it was?
Domination.
Okay. And you and I were both on the business end, Bills, Jets, of the domination. Occasionally we would poke our head up. We had that, you know, 2-3 year Rex Ryan seeing our shadow.
I saw Belichick over the urinal. You see before that? I
do
came
your
out.
Job. Do you like that photo? You
delightful.
Like it? Okay. So he lurks. He lurks right here. We have that in our Rich Eisen Show green room over the commode. It says, do your job. It's Belichick. But he's now in the rare position of wanting the Patriots to lose because he wants Caleb Williams now. He's in the
We're so close.
And so if Carolina starts to win,
they will.
That takes the Bears out of that spot. And he's got a clear path to the basket with only Arizona potentially standing in its way.
Teams rise up after they let the coach go. Look what happened in Oakland, right? And there's an exhale that happens. And I don't know if they're going to win, but I don't think Tampa Bay deserves to be a 6-point favorite. But you know, the other thing I like to look at is where the money is.
Mm-hmm.
And, like, you know, 3% of the money's on Carolina. You're never crazy to go against the masses.
Spoken like the man who's co-created and co-writing Bookie on Max, available for consumption with 2 episodes today. All right, Nick.
Sir.
When it was time for you to come on this program and promote Bookie on Max, I said, would you please write me a tale of the tape, like back in the day, SportsCenter old school? And you have done so.
Yes, sir.
It is now time to do this. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Bakay and his tale of the tape. I won't even say, should I set up with what it is, or you want to do that? Is that what
you know what? I think it's baked in. Okay. I'm going to hydrate.
Okay, here we go. He's going to hydrate because nobody wants to cramp.
No, okay. If I cramp,
doing
I'm
a
doing
tale
this.
Of the tape. Here we go. Ladies and gentlemen, Nick Bakay, the floor is yours, Nick. Go for it.
The brotherly shove, Philadelphia's dreaded rugby scrum that never fails to convert. Taylor Swift, a generational songbird whose tryst with Travis Kelce has generated more fascination than Mark Davis's haircut. Two polarizing wild cards that have taken the NFL by storm. Loved, hated, respected, resented. Well, the time has come to answer the essential question. Who would win in a street fight? Taylor Swift versus the brotherly shove. Let's see how they stack up at the tail of the tape.
Here we go.
Shake it off, Swift. A catchy song about getting past the haters. Shove? The nut punch you just got on the bottom of the pile. Advantage Swift.
Oh.
I don't care if you're a first rounder or a street free agent. Those vines have tender grapes. The worst thing that ever happened to Shove, the forward pass. Swift. Brittany Mahomes. Hey, you with the camera. I'm over here. Advantage Push.
Oh,
too close to call.
Oh, okay.
No, I love the energy in here.
Next up. Oh, yeah. Next
that's
up.
Good. Are Kelce's essential? Swift. Who do you think her next song's about? Shove. Who do you think's on the bottom of that tossed salad? Advantage. Push. There are no winners here.
Wow. Two pushes.
Oh, you,
no
winners. Somebody had money on that one.
There's no winners.
Conversion percentage. Shove, 90%. Swift, 0%. When it comes to lasting love.
Oh, boy.
Oh, it's sad. Advantage, shove. And a word of warning, Mr. Kelce. It's all glitz and gravy until you're the chorus of her next song. Oh, dear. It's hard to breathe, shove, when you're on the bottom. Swift, when she breaks into ATW TMV FTV. All too well, 10-minute version from the vault. But you... You already knew that, Rich.
I did.
Advantage Swift.
Yes, indeed.
Full disclosure, a young person named Alex needed to help me with that. What happens in the pile of humanity? Swift, girls of all ages burst into tears. Shove, men of all ages go nose to taint. I'm not crying, you're crying. Advantage Swift, it's okay to feel, Rich.
Wow. I had Shove there.
Advantage Swift.
What do you feel, people?
Oh, God.
Wow.
Can they get it done with 8 men in the box? Shove, yes. Swift, God, I hope not. Advantage, let's just move on.
Let's move on.
Let's move on. Arch enemies, Swift, Kanye West. Shove, the Dallas Cowboys. Advantage, shove. I truly believe that hating the Cowboys can bring us back together as a nation.
Sorry, TJ.
What would the legendary voice of NFL films, John Facenda, say? Shove? This unstoppable phalanx of man-meat conjures frozen tundras and the beer-fart brutality of Chuck Bednarik. Swift. A gamane chanteuse with a darn good head for business and legs that go all the way down. Hey, don't get mad at me. I'm channeling a man from a different era. Advantage. Shove. Had to. Facenda was the local news guy in Philly.
Very good.
And finally.
Ladies and gentlemen.
Take that, patriarchy. Swift. Her tour outgrossed Motley Crue's, which I believe was sponsored by Metamucil. Shove. Finally, men can experience the agony of childbirth. Advantage, Swift, and empathy. So there you have it. It's also simple when you break things down scientifically. In a down and dirty street fight, the resounding advantage goes to Taylor Swift. Are you nuts? I'm not going to alienate her army of fans. I need them to watch Bookie tonight on Max. Besides, losing lets Philly fans do what they do best, just hate, baby. Until next time, I'm Nick Bakay reminding you the numbers never lie.
Yeah!
We're back!
Wow. Like riding a bike.
Oh,
Nick.
My God. Oh, that was fun.
Oh, my gosh. That's a new fantasy team name. What beer? What beer? Fart?
Beer fart brutality of Chuck Bednarik.
Oh, by the way, yeah.
That's a little too long for the Yahoo box.
I think the Sables directed that documentary, right? The beer fart brutality of Chuck Bednarik. The beer fart brutality.
That's when his dad let Steve finally turn it loose.
Nick, sir, you are the best, brother.
Oh, Rich, thank you.
Congrats. By the way, I would do a tale of the tape anytime you want to come back and do it.
Let's do it. This was too much fun.
I mean, Susie was telling some of the folks at Cooper's baseball game over the weekend that you were coming on and doing a tale of the tape, and a bunch of guys were like, "Really?
Oh, that's nice,
dude." I'm telling you, there's a whole bunch of all of us out there that loved it back then and want to keep doing it now.
I'm ready.
Same thing for Bookie on Max. Bookie. Check it out right now on Max, which is available right here on the Roku platform. We are back. 844-204-RICH, phone numbers, Advantage. Whoosh.
The football season is underway, and Believe podcasts are talking about it.
When he went home and went to sleep, Michael Parsons was terrorizing him.
Believe has podcasts covering all 32 professional teams and many of your favorite college teams, too.
And to be only producing 15 points a game, that's something that is definitely disheartening.
Sideline to sideline, end zone to end zone.
As a quarterback, I would expect him to be acting like that. Take the accountability. Put that on yourself. Don't put it on your teammates.
Search BLEAV podcasts wherever you listen.
We had Jerry on the show just a couple of weeks ago, Larry, and I asked him how come Steinbrenner himself never appeared on Seinfeld. And he said Steinbrenner shot a scene, but it was so bad you cut it. Is that a true story?
True story, yeah.
What was so bad about it?
He flew out on his private jet to do the show and flew back that day. And okay, he did it. And then I go into editing and I'm watching the show. And oh my God, he was so awful. He was so bad. It was, you couldn't use it. It was much better from behind with my voice, you know, than actually seeing the real guy doing it.
Right. So that was a scene where he was with Costanza?
He was with Elaine in a restaurant, I think.
Okay.
And I had to call him up and tell him he was cut.
How did that go?
I called Yankee Stadium. I said, I want to talk to Mr. Steinbrenner. It's Larry David. He got on the phone. Yeah. I said, Mr. Steinbrenner, it's Larry David calling from the Seinfeld show. Yes, yes, Larry, what is it? I said, I'm sorry to tell you this. He said, come on, you can tell me. I'm a big boy. I can take it.
Yeah. But you slipped like back in that voice.
Yeah,
like
right. I slipped right back in, right. And I said, I've been cut from the show. And I said, it's not your fault, but it's just the scene wasn't working, and that was it.
How did he take it?
He was a big boy. He took it well.
So he told you how he was going to take it, and he actually took it,
yeah.
George Steinbrenner in Elaine. Wow. I would never have guessed. I would have thought that there would have to have been a Costanza George moment.
I know there was an Elaine scene. I don't know. There may have been a George scene. I'm not sure. I don't remember.
Oh, my God. All of Larry David's appearances on the program. YouTube.com/Rich Eisen Show. That was so much fun with Nick right there. Stream the NFL and Westwood One for free, sponsored by AutoZone. All season long, you can listen to every Westwood One broadcast of the NFL live on the NFL app or by asking Alexa to open Westwood One Sports or on your Westwood One affiliate station's digital platforms. Kevin Harlan, Kurt Warner, and me all season long for free. And get in the zone with AutoZone. AutoZone's free battery testing and charging is available for free on your local AutoZone. Restrictions apply. Get in the zone. AutoZone. So much fun with Nick.
I mean, that was so great.
Eric
funny.
Stone Street is coming in hour number three as well. He just texted me on the way there. He wrote the following. Coming in hot with an Ohio State Buckeye.
Uh-oh.
So I wrote back, normally I ask guests to have their phones on silent, but all thrilled to know your guest will also be on silent.
Wow.
I'm coming in hot as well. It'll be hot versus hot.
Wow.
Pew, 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 pew. Okay.
Wow.
Nick Buckeye.
And so wasn't that great?
Oh, God.
I was telling him when he left, like, one of my favorite things was he used to be a Jeopardy type game show host on In Living Color.
Oh,
he played the Wheel of Death.
He's done a ton of stuff, man.
Man, he did some that 70s show parts.
Well, I mean, and again, Sabrina, he was the voice of Salem the Cat. I mean, he's one of my favorites. I love him. He's good people, and obviously really funny and great to see this show coming on Max starting today called Bookie. So What the Football had Peter King as a guest, and topical as always. Peter King was talking about Carolina's open gig, and Greg Olson's coming up middle of the next hour. We'll ask him about all that. And so Peter had this interesting analogy in regards to the owner of Carolina, David Tepper, firing Frank Reich in the middle of this season. Third straight year, he's having now an interim head coach, which is rare in the National Football League or in any sport. This is Peter King from What the Football with Susie Schuster and Amy Trask.
The news out of Carolina. What are your thoughts on the firing?
Yeah, I'm not too impressed with David Tepper. You know, he's owned the team for 5 years now. And in the last 48 months, he's had three head coaches and now three interim coaches. And if that weren't bad enough, he owns the pro soccer team in Charlotte. And he's fired the coach each of the first 2 years. And look, maybe Frank Reich is not the guy, okay? But how do you go from falling in love with a guy and then whacking him 10 months later? Same thing with Matt Rhule. I just think he's a little bit overboard. And I never thought we would see a Steinbrenner type guy in the NFL. But this guy is George Steinbrenner without the wins.
Peter, is it your sense or understanding that he is listening perhaps to the wrong people? Is he getting any input, or is he making these decisions absolutely on his own?
I think he feels like he wants to do something and he does it. And he's got some really smart people in that organization. And to me, I just think, and look, you know, you were in this game for a long time, and you know that sometimes you are going to have really bad days and you're going to have bad years. If you pick a head coach, you better know that there are going to be lean days, or else you wouldn't be having to hire a new head coach.
So much more from Peter on the pod, including also Amy Trask reacting to the word that John Gruden might be in the mix for the Indiana head coaching gig in college.
Figured it was a matter of time before he got back in the mix.
I mean, Amy has some interesting thoughts on that. So check out the What the Football podcast, where all podcasts can be acquired and wherever you get your podcasts. And, of course, there's our YouTube page to watch it as well. And it's interesting. I know Nick Buckeye was saying over and over again, you know, he likes Carolina this weekend. And you mentioned certain points and things of that nature. And, again, I become the
a tutty. Getting a tutty.
The tutty. Unfrozen caveman host when people talk like that. But you're hoping the Carolina Panthers have some sort of new life.
I am.
New invigoration, new set of eyes.
Some shot of injection. I just don't know. Offense into that team.
When Antonio Pierce took the gig from Josh McDaniels, everything came out right there that McDaniels was either checked out or, you know, you heard about that players only meeting, right?
Right, like a couple days before.
Right, yeah. or not the players only meeting, where the players all got everything off their chest. And, you know, I think it was Glazer reported, Antonio Pierce came out there and wanted to rally everyone around saying, you know, this season's not over. And he pointed out how the Giants in 2007 beat the Patriots in the Super Bowl after they barely made the playoffs and lost to New England in the last game of the year. And New England became the first, you know, undefeated regular season team since the Dolphins. And you heard that McDaniels criticized Pierce for talking bad about the Patriots.
Right. Don't ever do that again.
But you don't. And so it stands to reason that there would be a breath of fresh air in that situation in Vegas. Yeah. I'm not hearing that in Carolina. I don't know. Mm-hmm. And that's a fascinating part about what's going to happen from Carolina here. And normally you'd be like, what do we care about a 1-10 team? Well, the Chicago Bears and the entire draft at the top depends on this. And, you know, that's
big.
A very fascinating part about it. Because the Vegas Raiders, it's just like, well, we'll see if Pierce gets the job.
Sure.
And we'll see if the Raiders go on a run to maybe get a 6 or 7 seed because the division's gone. This one is how many games is Carolina going to lose because Caleb Williams' future, or you want to throw Marvin Harrison Jr.'s future or Drake May's future in the mix, is hanging in that balance. And years and years and years of ripple effects will be played off of what is going to happen in Carolina. Because if they continue to fall flat, Chicago has got the golden ticket. And if it's not Chicago, because Carolina keeps winning, could it be New England? And what happens with Belichick? Can he get sort of the Greg Popovich, you know, sports god's gift at the lap? Victor Wembanyama is known as a total unicorn. I mean, Caleb Williams is viewed as a to use the parlance of our tech world, Mahomes plus, right?
Been a lot of questions after how he played this year and some of the off-field stuff.
But is Belichick going to be the guy to stay there? I mean, there's so many fascinating conversations based off of what is going to happen in Carolina. And for more on that, again, What the Football with Peter King as the guest of Susie and Amy. Greg Olson is coming up in hour number 2 of this show. And I've got a top 5 list of most intriguing games and your phone calls. Stay put.
How wrestling really works and how you get the ratings. Eric Bischoff and Conrad Thompson explain on 83 Weeks.
Too much time is spent discussing talent's age. The younger demo is just as excited about a Paul Heyman or a John Cena or an Undertaker or Becky Lynch, or I don't care what their birth certificate says, they're going to draw a younger demo because they're fun to watch and they're great entertainers.
83 Weeks on YouTube or wherever you listen.